Welcome to the Live Generously podcast. I'm your host, Holly Mumford. Last time, Amy Sherman and I began a discussion about what it means to live generously in terms of investing your gifts and talents. We talked about vocational stewardship. Amy, remind our listeners again of your definition of vocational stewardship.
Sure. What I mean by vocational stewardship is the intentional deployment of our professional skills and the vocational power that we possess, things like our networks or platforms, to advance the kingdom of God.
So last time you also described some different pathways of vocational stewardship. Pathway one you call bloom where you're planted, mm-hmm. and that's essentially about creatively and strategically working to bring foretaste of the kingdom right now in one's current job. Mm-hmm. Pathway two was about donating your professional skills to an organization, like a graphic designer volunteering to help a new nonprofit organization set up a website. And today we're going to look at pathway three. So Amy, tell us about that pathway.
Well, right, as you said, keyword for pathway one is bloom, keyword for pathway two is donate, and the keyword for pathway three is invent. And this involves drawing upon your skills, your knowledge, your expertise, influence, networks, etc., to launch some kind of a new enterprise or initiative that seeks to advance the kingdom in a fresh way or on behalf of an underserved group.
Today we're going to hear from someone who is living out Pathway 3. Her name is Rianna De Armand, and she is a chef. Today Rianna oversees the Culinary Training Center in Bottambong, Cambodia. It's a creative social enterprise founded by the Indianapolis nonprofit, the Center for Global Impact.
Yeah, right. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Chef Rianna recently, learning more about how she's pouring out her professional talents to bring flourishing to at-risk girls there in Cambodia. Since I'm in Virginia and Rianna is way over in Cambodia, we had to do the interview over a very long distance. So listeners, the audio quality isn't quite as high as would be ideal, but we think you're really going to love her story.
So let's take a listen into Amy's interview with Rianna.
Rianna, thank you so much for being with us today and taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. I'm a real fan of the Center for Global Impact and particularly of the Culinary Training School, and it's just really a privilege to get to interview you today.
It's my pleasure to be here today with you.
Well, let's start by having you tell me just a little bit about your background. When did you first know that you wanted to be a chef, and where did you get your training?
To make a long story short, let's see here. I was in high school, and I had actually been accepted to a Bible college, and I had a full ride there. And then come, like, April, I was on the computer, and that's when pop-up ads were new, and so people actually clicked on them.
Uh-huh.
And there was this pop-up ad of a culinary school, and I was like, oh, that's intriguing. Maybe I should go into that instead. So I forwent my entire full ride scholarship and went to Sullivan University, which is in Louisville, Kentucky, to culinary school. And so I got there, I just really began to fall in love with cooking and creating and being able to express yourself through food and through that art. And so and then I began to realize that I was pretty good at it. That's where I kind of began to want to be a chef.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you were doing professionally before you came on board with the Center for Global Impact.
So immediately before I joined Center for Global Impact, I was running my own in-home chef and catering business where I would take the profits and then help people who had food needs. So whether that be from a homeless man living on the street, where I would go and talk with him about how does he kind of ration out his food and how does he make sure that he has enough to sustain, or was that to be teaching a single mother how to create healthy budget meals for her family and for her kids. Before that, I was in Chicago, and where I helped open a restaurant and live in the big city. And then before that, I was working in a Asian fusion restaurant, and that's where I began to fall in love with Asian culture and Asian flavors. And so when I connected with CGI, it kind of just made sense.
And tell us a little bit about what motivated you to, leave what you were doing. It sounded like you had your own kind of ministry right here through your catering business and cooking and, using the profits to help the hungry. What motivated you to leave that work and, go all the way across the world to Cambodia to help lead this brand new culinary training center?
Yeah, so the actual process started when I was in Chicago. I received a really great review from a food critic, and when I got home that night, sitting in my apartment, and I got to thinking, like, this is great and wonderful and kind of everything that I had wanted to achieve to this point in my life, but what is it worth? And, it just seemed pretty worthless. And so at that moment, I, had a real hard talk with God. I was like, okay, God, I feel like you have more for me.
Ryanna ended up leaving her job in Chicago and moving back to her home state of Tennessee. There she started an in-home catering business and used it in part to offer food and practical help for the homeless. But she still sensed that God was calling her to something more. When she heard about the Center for Global Impact's work in Cambodia, things started to come into clearer focus for her vocationally.
And so I was connected with CGI. And once I came to Cambodia and I saw the operations that they had going on here, I knew that all of the random things that I had done throughout my life to this point kind of all came together as a purpose and passion that God had given me to be able to really help and utilize, to be utilized here at the training center.
Yeah, it sounds like a real fulfillment of that promise in Ephesians where it talks about, we're his workmanship and he's prepared good works in advance for us to walk in. This sounds like it was one of those good works.
In November 2011, Chef Ryanna made Battambang, Cambodia, her new home. The Center for Global Impact chose that city because of some relationships it had with other ministries already there, who were working with rescuing young girls from sex trafficking and seeking to help them heal through aftercare centers. But there was a need for a new ministry that could come alongside these young women and help them to acquire marketable skills so that they could provide economically for themselves. That led to the idea of beginning a culinary training school, and obviously Ryanna's background as a chef made her the perfect fit for really getting that new ministry off the ground.
You had mentioned that one of the things you've done in the past is you had helped to open a restaurant. So kind of sounds like you're a, an entrepreneur as well as a chef. Before we have you tell us a little bit more about the culinary training center itself, tell us a little bit about how did you help to sort of shape the culinary training center, which we're going to refer to now as the CTC.
And CGI, when I connected with CGI and began to work in Cambodia with the Culinary Training Center, there was no other Western influence. There was two Cambodian staff, a husband and wife team, and there had been a couple other foreigners that had kind of been in and out to help in the training, but I kind of came in and there wasn't much structure and wasn't much, really a lot going on. So they would have English class and Lipa Law, which is the lady that was there, she would teach them all the foreign food that she knew and all the food that she knew how to cook, but she didn't know much. And so at that point, I came in and set up a full curriculum where we teach pretty much the same structure as in America, where you start with sanitation and knife skills and you progress on through through meat cooking, and we will get a pig and butcher it, and we kind of do the whole gambit of culinary skills as well as baking and pastry. And then, so we had that going, we had the training center going, and then we decided to open up a restaurant named Green Mango to be able to employ the girls and give them the hands-on experience they need to really get a credible job.
The CTC's training program is intense. It's 18 months long. For the first 9 months, staff work with the young women on their literacy and numeracy skills. And also, they receive some life skills classes on topics like budgeting and conflict resolution. In the final 9 months, the girls begin their culinary training, towards the end of which is 3 months in an internship in the restaurant where they can practice their newly acquired skills hands-on.
So we are currently on our first class, or our fourth class of students. We have graduated 18 students. Normal class size is 10 to 12 when they start, and then a few will kind of drop off. And so our fourth class is made up of 10 girls right now.
And what's their age range typically?
Typically 16 to 22. So we kind of put girls in that age frame so that when they finish their program, they'll be adults and be able to be independent.
Right. And are most of them young women that have been rescued from trafficking?
Yeah, most of them are either from trafficking, exploitation, sexual exploitation or abuse, or extremely at risk of trafficking. We work with, because we also want to be a part of that prevention side.
Uh-huh.
And so half of our girls come from partnered organizations that work with trafficked victims or exploitation victims. And then other half come from communities where they're extremely at risk.
In God's providence, there was a lot of experiences professionally that he gave to you over the years, everything from graduating from a formal culinary school to working in a restaurant and helping to open a restaurant. You mentioned learning about Asian food and sort of falling in love with Asian food. So it really does seem like God shaped you for this particular role. What would you say are some of the best parts of your job as the director of the CTC? I'm sure it's very hard in lots of ways and demanding and tiring, but what are the joyful and rewarding parts for you, Rianna?
I think the most joyful part of my job is being able to see growth and see how, when we first started, it was Lipo and myself, and we worked together and we taught and we did everything together. And now we've grown to have a staff of 8 amazing Cambodians, and so now they are able to feed in to the girls and really help the girls grow. And so to be able to watch our staff grow, but then also be able to watch our students to grow and to, you get a girl who has very little self-confidence, and you're able to, she slowly begins to, look at you and be able to make eye contact, and then she's able to create something where she felt she was worthless and that she was broken. But being able to see that restoration happen throughout daily lives is really what the joy of my job is.
Well, I'm going to assume that it's also rewarding for you to be, using your very particular gifts, as a chef in your work, as opposed to
you know, just sort of hearing a general call to the mission field to, I don't know, you know, be a church planner or something. Is that a correct assumption? Is there a particular joy that comes from serving in a way that really draws upon, you know, your unique gifts and talents and professional experiences?
It's very, very rewarding to be able to know that I was uniquely trained and uniquely gifted to be able to impact, you know, this ministry and impact these girls' lives, so that then they're able to have a job and a training and a skill where they can then provide for their family. And so to be able to know that I have that skill and that, yeah, then they are able to then learn that skill as well, to be able to provide, kind of break some of those economic cycles that are really known here in Cambodia. It's very rewarding. It's also very humbling. To know that that's kind of my responsibility now.
What a pleasure to hear Ryanna's story. She's such a great example of a follower of Christ who is using her particular talents as a chef to bring about new opportunities and hope to vulnerable girls in Cambodia.
Yes, Ryanna is truly living generously. And as we wrap up, I think it's important to emphasize that we don't have to travel halfway across the globe to practice generosity by investing our vocational skills. There are plenty of opportunities right here in America and indeed right in Indianapolis for social entrepreneurs like Ryanna to launch new ventures that seek the greater flourishing of our neighbors. In fact, be sure to check out the resources page to learn about one such creative enterprise in Indianapolis called Purposeful Design.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Live Generously podcast. Thank you for listening. Please do check out the resources we've got listed on the website. Next time, we will focus on the concept of generous leadership, so be sure to tune in for our next episode in July.